welcome. Sit back, relax, for a little bit of reflection, introspection, and connection. Join us in our authentic chats about how we navigate this world as humans. Before we start, a big thank you to our sponsor, changeyourliferetreats.com, a place where you can start your path to authenticity. Find out more at changeyourliferetreats.com. Welcome back to the Talking Minds podcast. We've been away for some time, but I have a new co-presenter with me. Paulina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be awesome. I know this is going to be awesome. Because this is your first podcast on Talking Minds podcast, just tell everybody a little bit about you, and then we're going to dive in whilst I drink my bulletproof coffee.
Nice. Enjoy. So hello, everyone. My name is Paulina Polibiela, and I'm an international yoga, meditation, and breathwork teacher, trainer, and facilitator. And I also help women to step into their power and feel more in control of their life and their finances.
Awesome. Now, we're going to talk coffee.
Yes.
Now, we had a conversation ages ago, and I can't remember what the conversation was, but it went around the fact that, isn't it interesting how, I think it was a statistic in New York, I think I read, and it was like 76% of people choose a normal coffee shop than another independent coffee shop. So that kind of quick fix. But before we go into that, and for anybody who's listening, there is a reason why we're talking about coffee and maybe why we choose chain coffee shops over something else. But this isn't about coffee, it's about the mind. But just tell me, you were telling me a little story before we started recording about how somebody who's extremely successful sets up their day. Just tell me a little bit more about that.
So I was watching a very successful CEO, and he was describing his day. As you probably know, people who are powerful or they are very successful, they don't have time to waste. So everything is calculated, everything is measured, everything is kind of like structured. And what he was saying that when he wakes up at 6:30, he, spends time with himself, journaling, meditating. This is very important because he spends so much time with other people. It's really important to do things on him with, on his own, right? But the story is not about his time spending with himself. The story is about the coffee. So he said that at 8 a.m., he has an espresso. And with the sip of an espresso, he gets into a different mode. So his body knows, okay, this is a work time. This is a time to be productive. The first sip is allowing him to really change his perception, change his actions, and change his behavior to be in a business mode. And that's a cue for his body. So this first sip, it's a tip or it's a cue for his body to start the day and be productive. It's a business mode,
And this is really interesting, because what I heard you say is, this is me paraphrasing it, by the way, what I heard you say is, he is being present in what he needs to do in that moment. So as he starts his day, he's being present with himself. And then he's still being present with himself, but he's shifting that part. It's like the satellites. I say you need to bring different satellites in depending on what you want to do. So it's not about the coffee. And if we were to look at coffee culture, because I love Italy, right? And what's really interesting when we look at, say, coffee culture in Italy, and Italians obviously love their coffee. And again, just talk about New York, because obviously we've got the retreat that's coming up in Pennsylvania, which actually, if anybody's interested in that, we'll put the notes, the show notes. But what's interesting is that when you drink coffee in Italy, it's kind of celebrated. They're present. It's a moment that you can stop and connect and all the rest of it. Where when we look at how most people consume coffee in the Western world, they're looking for a quick fix of, say, going to Starbucks or Costa or another chain brand, which is nothing wrong with that. But most people are using that to try and fuel energy when they're not, maybe not in a great place. Whereas when you were talking about that CEO, somebody who's highly successful, he wasn't using the coffee to fuel his day. He was using it as a punctuation mark to start his day because he'd already brought energy into his life. And there's a lot of statistics around this in that when it comes to coffee, there's lots of different people that say you shouldn't drink it, you shouldn't, because it's an accelerator. One of the reasons why they say you shouldn't drink coffee first thing in the morning, I don't know the exact hours or minutes, is that because when we wake up, our bodies are still fueled with cortisol. So if you grab a coffee as soon as, or drink a coffee as soon as you wake up, you're spiking that cortisol, which is not good for your mental health. It's not good. You need to actually allow the cortisol to settle in your body, become present, take that time. And notice you said he gets up, meditates, but he takes an hour for himself.
Yes, he does. And then he has his family, and then he has coffee later, right?
And then, so by spending that time with himself and filling up his own cup, as a metaphor, he can then serve. And I think this, that attitude of people who are highly successful that say, okay, in the morning, this is my routine. It's not like getting up at 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter when you get up. It's, I have a routine that allows me to serve myself. Then I can serve others. Whereas the majority of people are not being present with themselves, and they're rushing through life, and then they're using, let's say, coffee as a fuel source. So here's the question. Are people becoming less responsible for their lives and looking for a quick fix? And why is that? With all the information out there, why is it that people aren't being present with themselves, do you think?
I think there's an even deeper question. Why people are lazy. I would say that in a way that, for example, in the morning, you don't want to do the work. So being present with yourself for 1 hour, it requires a lot of energy and work first. You have to kind of like put the energy forward in order to, you know, fill your cup. So an easy quick fix would be to grab a cup of coffee. It's an external thing that people are hoping that will give them that energy that they're hoping to have inside of them, not doing the work. It's just sipping coffee. And sometimes it can be even a pleasant experience, like your bulletproof coffee or a latte, grande, whatever, coconut milk, you know, some other things, right? So people can make it very pleasant, and they're hoping that the coffee will do the work. Unfortunately, it's not going to do the work because they have to do the work. And that's why they don't want to take that responsibility, because there's a fear of failure. You might not feel great, but with coffee, you did it so many times that maybe you know what to expect. And it feels familiar. And it feels like, okay, I'll drink the coffee. It gives me something. I'll crash, you know, 1 hour, but it's okay. It's worth it. So I feel it's the, just, you know, that the people don't really want to do the work. They don't want to sit with themselves. They don't feel like they want to rely on themselves fully. They would rely on external situation or circumstances or, you know, coffee, which is a product, because it's easier and it delivers some kind of result.
You know what? What I'm hearing is, it's really interesting when you said people are lazy. And that kind of really hit me for some reason, because I can kind of feel some guilt and shame in myself in stuff that I'm supposed to be doing at the moment. I woke up this morning, didn't have a great night's sleep last night. And was like the ego mind is going around, like, you know, you didn't do this and it's because you didn't do that. There's a lot of shame and there's a lot of guilt. And I just wonder whether, is it laziness, or is it the fact that we're being so brainwashed on social media? And we were talking about this, right, in regards to, I'm going to go to the laziness one, because I love this. This is a great phrase that I heard from a PR company that I've worked with before. And it was about when people put out social media posts and your friends and family and people that you know like your post, right? And what Kirsty said was, I call them lazy likers. because they like the post but can't be asked to put in a comment on why they liked the post. And it's a little bit like consuming coffee, isn't it? Is that all of a sudden, you know this phrase because Elliot Weiss has used this, mental masturbation, is that we want to consume content to get that dopamine hit, but we're too lazy to recognize and appreciate the time maybe that that person took to create that content. And we're not taking any responsibility for maybe giving that person the honor of saying, I really liked that post. This is how it made me feel. Or that was a great insight. I'd love to find out more. And I think that we've become a society that consumes without thinking. So it's like we're just consuming things for the sake of consuming it. And you're absolutely right that I've noticed when I've worked with top performers is that they do spend moments in the day to just be present. And great leaders also are present with people. And I want to tell a story because this kind of leads into success and failure. We look at the economy's crashing, you know, people, they're saying there's a cost of living crisis, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I think this is all down to it. This is a story that I remember my dad telling me when I was very, very young. And it was a friend of his who was he was a director of a company called Ferranti. I think they made like radar systems and stuff. And his routine, his kind of, I guess, like a gratitude practice in a way, would be he'd drive in his Rolls Royce, park up in his executive space, and would walk around the back of the building, and he would go into the where all the trades were going on the shop floor, and he would walk the floor for the first hour of his day. He would know every single person on the shop floor. He would know what they were doing, what their families were doing, what their hopes and dreams were doing. And as a result of him spending that 1 hour of his day, if he needed them to do something, they would do it because they were seen.
Yes.
They were heard. And he created connection. And he did that from what my dad was telling me about. He did that from a genuine love. But I think also as a leader, he'd realized that there are different ways in which we can serve. And often now we're trying to consume more money, or we're trying to consume more status, those ego things. But actually what we want is connection and to feel valued. Now, when he retired, they got some whiz kids that come in, you know, been to university, got doctorates, MBAs, whatever. And he said, this is my routine. This is how I do it. Obviously, you're going to be crafting this role yourself, but this has always worked for me. 3 months after he left, he gets a phone call and they ask him to come in because they've lost millions.
Wow.
So he drives back in. It's the same routine. And they're all basically working to rule. And they're saying that he's just barking orders. So they're just doing what they can to get through the day. So the environment has completely changed. And the company actually, in the end, I think went into administration. But my point is that the environment in which we take our actions is really important. And it comes back to that, having that cup of coffee. And one of my practices in the morning, and I did it while you were talking, is that I will make my cup of coffee. I will get the coffee. I will get a cafetiere. It's a little bit more effort than just getting some instant Nescafe or something like that. I buy a decent coffee that tastes good. I will make the coffee. And I'm doing bulletproof coffee at the moment because I'm just doing some stuff. So I'll then get, I bought MCT oil. It cost me £21 for 500 mil of MCT oil. Expensive, but it's organic. It's GMO free. It's good for you. So I then put that in the blender, the MCT oil. I put the butter in. I put the coffee in. I blend it up. I pour it. And then I consume it. Now, yeah. I could just get some instant coffee, get some milk, boil some water on it and drink it.
It's different.
But it's different. the experience that I have of making that little bit of an effort to be present and create something in the morning, and then I feel so much better once I've done that.
Yeah.
And I beg the question, is that even in the transformation space that we both work in, I think there are so many charlatans and fraudsters out there that are perpetuating this image that come and join my $6,000 course.
Yeah.
And once you've graduated, you'll be living this luxury lifestyle, going to Dubai, you'll be doing this, you'll be doing that. And the reality is that that doesn't happen. So people are consuming content in various different ways, whether that be online, whether that be going on retreats, or whether that be, and it's very veneered. And I think I ask myself, are people lazy? Or is it the fact that they just don't trust that this stuff that we do works? And I'll be honest, it pisses me off, because I know there are so many people out there that are making millions and millions of dollars from scamming people. And then everybody else, like you mean, that are authentically doing the work ourselves, putting the effort in so that we can serve people higher, and we show up truly and authentically as who we are. And because we do that, often people like us get penalized. And that sounds like a little bit of a victim statement, right? But I think it's true. And there's a coffee shop on the blog that I just did called Java Coffee. And I did it's on my blog. And I made we used to be able to get free McDonald's coffee when we were on, so Victoria Station in Manchester. And you'd go to McDonald's to give you free coffee. And one day I was with my colleague, Carl, and we were walking through Victoria Station. And we said, shall we go and grab a coffee? And Carl said, I tell you what, let's go to Java. So Java was an independent coffee shop. And this was before I became a coffee snob. So we walked in. And when I think about it now, I was really nervous. Coffee shop. I was really nervous because this was a different environment. This was unfamiliar to me. And because I knew what I was getting if I went to McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
And so we walked in there, and I looked at the price, and I can't remember how much it was, but it was an independent coffee shop, right? So it wasn't cheap in regards to, it was going to be more expensive than free. But even if I was buying a McDonald's coffee, it was like this was like going into some sort of VIP coffee lounge or something. But what was really interesting was that I ordered a latte, I think it was. And the person who served me, the barista, was so nice. Engaged in the conversation. Asked how our day was. I didn't have the coffee yet. And then we got the coffee, went outside, and the coffee tasted so much sweeter. It tasted so much better. And I think the reason for that was that when I look at it now, it was never the coffee.
No.
The environment. It, that person engaged with me because they were independent. It was an independent coffee house that I think had been going for some time. And they were passionate about service. And it wasn't about, yeah, of course they were making money. Now, that particular coffee shop is now shut down. Now, I don't know if the company is shut down or not. I should look into that. But it saddened me when I look at it and thought, oh, that's not open anymore. And we see our high streets. I don't know what it's like in Poland, but we see our high streets being decimated by independents. Independent coffee shops, people, creators, people, innovators, passionate people. And we moan and complain about that, but I think we're all responsible. You know, we blame governments for, oh, the government's not doing this or the government's not doing that. We put governments in power. We elect people. Yeah. And I think the issue we've got is it's not a government problem. I don't think it is. I don't think our healthcare services are the government's problem. It's our problem because we're too lazy to take time to make that coffee. We're too lazy to be present and say, I'm not standing for that. I want a better environment. But it's much easier to follow the crowd and pretend. But I don't know what the answer is to educate people to say, do you know what? Having a small amount of quality is much better than having a mass amount of shite.
That's true, yeah.
And whether that's consuming coffee, whether that's consuming social media, whether that's consuming a doctrine that's being put over people, it would be really interesting to see if other people feel that, you know. And that's one of the reasons why when we decided to do the retreat that we're doing in April in the Poconos Mountains, is that we went, we're not going to do what everybody else does, is go to Greece or Spain and, you know, it's yoga in that, because we want to really transform lives. And I just think, how do we break through this shite so people can start to consume a better life? I don't know what your thoughts are. I went on a bit of a rant there, didn't I? A bit of a ramble. But yeah, it's, I just find it sad.
What you were saying is really valuable. And I feel a lot of times we were talking about the environment, and when people go one course to another, it's like, it's addictive. I've been there. It's kind of like this, you know, dopamine.
Dopamine hit, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've done so many courses. I've spent so many hours and so much money over the last 15 years that I probably could have a house. And it was addictive. We were, you know, kind of sucked in into that environment as students. And we are all lifelong students. So if someone is in that vibe, oh, I'm learning all life, and they don't want to settle, they don't feel like they want to just get stuck and stay in that limbo, they're looking for different things. And that can be a course, that can be a retreat, right? So I feel like the environment and you know, the group of people who are supporting you, it's so important. So you know that you're learning something and you can implement that, so you become successful. And some companies or some people, what they do, they get people addicted. So if people are looking for another course, they don't give them the environment, they give them another course. So they think, oh, I'm going to do another course, and I'm going to be better. You're going to be better, but it's not going to change that much because you have to take action. And if they don't take action, they just learning, and don't implement stuff, there's not that much that changed. They're still in that process of learning and not doing.
What I've just written down there, we're addicted to convenience, and that is creating toxic environments, right? Yeah. And as we lead into that, I think there's a lot of shame and guilt around that, that once we move into that environment, we go, oh my God, I've put so much energy into getting here, and this wasn't where I was supposed to be. Yes. And now I can't back out, because if I back out, people will go, I told you so.
Or even we might have a terrible sense of remorse. Mm-hmm. It's like we're too deep. Like we think we have to go push through because there is this, you know, heaven or whatever lightning bulb that's going to come to us, or something that's going to change us because we're going to get out of that energy into a different energy, right? Mm. So some people are very competitive with themselves. Like I have a friend, she made a bad business decision. It's really bad, but she's not letting go. She's still stuck with this decision. She's really pushing through. She lost weight. She doesn't look good, but she's pushing. That's how she knows how to.
And you know what? It's just made me kind of bring it back to that whole coffee shop thing. Is that when we pull in like what I call my four pillars of success? I'm going to run through this, and let's see if we can go back to this highly successful CEO and the coffee that he had. So the four pillars of success that I've noticed that work for people, and it doesn't matter who I've studied, this really works. The first thing is that you've got to stop and kind of ask yourself these questions in any scenario. And it's, what do you want? Why do you want it? What are your values? What are your boundaries? And what is the environment in which you want to do that? So when I look at, if we look at that from a drinking a cup of coffee for me, or an experience, I know we're going to be meeting up in New York, right, just before the retreat, and we were talking about this. So it was interesting, if I flow that through, let's take coffee, right? What do I want? I want a really nice cup of coffee. Why do I want that? Because I want to give myself a moment. I want to, you know, feel that I'm nourishing my body, and that I'm giving that to myself. What are my values around that? Well, the coffee that I buy has got to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's not chain coffee, because that builds into my values of supporting other people and, you know, doing the right thing. The boundary around that is that I'm going to take some time for that, and I'm not going to compromise on that, even if financially that might cost me a little bit more. The energy financially that I put into that, the time that I put into that, rewards me back into a nicer dopamine hit. And the environment that I want to create is that because I've taken the time to do that, the environment I want to create is to give myself a moment to just drink a cup of coffee and allow myself to notice how my body feels nourished by drinking it. We can say that with food, we can say it with anything. So if you were to reflect on that in regards to that kind of article that you're on about, how does that this is somebody who's highly successful, how would you say that reflects on that person's journey? Because I can see that, how that fits into those four pillars.
I mean, it reflects back perfectly, because that person is setting the tone for the day, right? So a lot of times when we're waking up, it happened to me many times, like we hit the alarm, right? We're like, it's not our natural hour to wake up, because, you know, during the week we have to wake up very early, for example, and very rarely we wake up naturally on our own, right? So we have that alarm clock, and then we just open our eyes, like, oh my gosh, I need to do this. And there's a chaos. There is this frantic mode that you have to get your kids to school. You have to do, you know, make breakfast. You have to do this. You have to do this. There's no time of setting the tone. There's no time for doing anything we just described. So unless you make that choice that you will make yourself a priority, and you'll make that choice that you will wake up maybe 30 minutes earlier to plan your day, so you're not depending on outside circumstances, or your family is not controlling you. So you are the leader in the family. You are the person who is setting the tone for the family, and they will adjust.
I want to ask you a question, because something's just come to mind. Now, I didn't have a particularly good sleep last night. I'm not sure why. Maybe it was for this podcast, right? Because the universe always does something that we want. Right. So for some reason, we haven't set the alarm. And I then wake up and say, what time is it? And it's like 10 to 8. So I'm like well overslept. My body clearly needed it. And what was interesting was, thinking about it, is that for me to be present on this podcast, I needed to make sure I got a shower. But actually, my biggest thing was I'm not doing the podcast until I've made my coffee, because that was my, I need to give myself that. But here's the thing. I took responsibility for the fact that I was running late. I felt some guilt around that. So I messaged you and said, hey, I'm just running a few minutes late. Is that okay? And therefore, how did you feel about that transaction? And the reason why I asked that question is that I was very mindful that I needed something, but equally I was mindful that we had arranged to do something. And I think for me personally, I'm more forgiving if somebody just communicates that they're running late or whatever. I'm okay with that. We're moving house at the moment, and we have not had any communication, not from our solicitor. Our solicitor is amazing, but from the solicitors who we're buying our houses, and that's causing me stress. That's causing us, you know, because we've got things that we need to plan. And I think that this, and I'll say about the lazy likes, how did it make you feel the fact that I hadn't taken responsibility for me waking up on time, right? But I put myself as a priority, but I was aware of that, but I communicated that to you, even though I was feeling guilt and shame about the fact that I hadn't turned up on time. I did feel that I'd done something to communicate it. So how did that make you feel that I was running late?
I feel that communication is the key. We were saying about your real estate agent, right? That was I appreciate that you communicated with me, because that, you know, told me that you're running late. That's fine. I can do other things. However, what I want to say about the real estate agent, I feel a lot of times when people who are in power or they are in control,
yes,
they think they don't have that responsibility to communicate. And for me, this is my personal experience, I always feel inferior because I'm depending on them because they are in a position of power. And that really makes me upset that we're not treated equally. As humans, we have the same rights, right? Even though that person is higher, and presumably that person has more power, authority, we are all equal. And I'm going to say, I'm going to be very blunt here. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
And you are a CEO or a homeless person, you're going to die too.
Yeah.
So for me, if someone has that power over us or has a very established position and is not communicating and is not creating that space for open communication, for whatever reason, it's very disrespectful. And it's the same with my contacts, my clients. When I'm pouring my heart, I'm messaging my clients or potential clients, and they don't even have the, like, you know, energy or whatever. I don't even want to go into, you know, describing what they're feeling, what they have, what they don't. They don't respond with few words. That's so disrespectful. And I'm trying to go. And I'm not, you know, engaging in that behavior, but deep down, very painful.
And so going back to the coffee shop thing, I think this is why I'm passionate. I mean, I'm a business owner, right? So this is why I think I'm passionate about this topic so much, is because if you look at coffee shops, supermarkets, let's take supermarkets as a, because I think nutrition is massive. If we look about just nutrition generally, is that supermarkets have the authority.
Yes.
When you start to look at the products that the majority of supermarkets do actually put on there, a lot of the stuff is toxic. It's, you know, it's ultra processed. It's not good for you. And then we wonder why we're sick. It is not the supermarket's responsibility. You go and have a coffee in Starbucks or Costa. I've been there. I've got nothing against Costa and Starbucks. The convenience is there. But there is a trade-off for us not taking responsibility and effort. And it's like our well-being. You know, if you are suffering with something and you are expecting, in the UK, for example, the NHS to fix you, and you're not going to take any responsibility about doing your research. I always say this, I'm always the last person. I'm always the last person that people come to. They've tried everything. And then they come to me and say, oh my God, I wish I'd have come to you first. Because they don't see me as the authority, even though we've got testimonials, I've worked with celebrities and all the rest of it. They don't see me as the authority because the way that we're marketed to is all around connection. So we will sacrifice ourselves to be part of the tribe. And the reason for that really is because I think I've told the story before. We were in Uganda once, and there was a water buffalo on the side of the bank of the Nile, and there was a herd of water buffalo over here. And I said to Sherry, who's one of my best friend's moms, I said, oh, that's interesting. Why there's that crocodile like 50 meters away? And I went, that's interesting. And then she just said, oh yeah, that'll be the crocodile's lunch. And I went, well, that's not safe. Why would the water buffalo stand on its own? And she said, it hasn't stood there on choice. It's basically been excommunicated from the herd. It's obviously done something and they've pushed it out. And we as humans have still got that as part of our evolution, is that when we stand out and we step into our authentic self, we become the single water buffalo. So we sacrifice who we truly are to fit into a system that actually is probably more dangerous than being near the crocodile. But we do it because we are unconscious. And when you talk about that person who's successful, and I've noticed this with successful people, they become conscious of the actions that they take. They take a moment. And I think this is why when we look at what we're trying to do and what we're going to be doing in this retreat in April is around giving people a safe environment where they can become conscious. I think people who work in our space, our job is not to give you the information and give you the quick fix. That's not what a good coach does. It's not what a good yogi does. It's not what a good breathworking instructor does. We facilitate an environment where you can give the insights and we give you the nudges and the pushes, but ultimately you are responsible for your choices. And I think we're trying to not fail, but the important thing is to go, okay, I made that move and I failed at that. I didn't get the result that I wanted. What did I want? Why did I want it? Because when we're conscious about our decision making, when we look at what do I want, not what does the world tell me, what do I want and why do I want it, you know, what does success look like to me, what are my values, what are my boundaries, and what's the environment that I truly love to thrive in, we tend to find then that we connect with the people who are like ourselves.
Yeah.
By doing that, we create safety.
That's true. And I also feel a lot of times, I don't have kids, but I work with women who have kids. Sometimes mothers, they will lose themselves. Like they would, you know, do everything for the kid or kids if they have more. And, you know, have, you know, years gone by and they don't know who they are. The kids are growing up. They're not growing in their career. They devoted their time into the family and, you know, raising kids. And they feel that they probably deep inside, they need that change, right? Mm-hmm. Or they feel like their career is not going. They feel stuck. They feel there's a burnout and they need that change.
Dis-ease, as I call it. Right. Which turns to disease. So isn't that interesting that if we take that phrase dis-ease and disease, it begs a question that I think that as we wind this episode up, is I'd like to ask everybody to take a moment right now and kind of look at this question and say, what convenient things am I addicted to? And are they creating an environment that's toxic for me? Whether that be in your nutrition, whether that be in your health, whether that be in your mind. And how can you take responsibility for making that change? And that change might just be about being present. So maybe if we're more present and take more responsibility, and maybe take a moment to connect. And if somebody, you know, I'm going to invite people, if this resonates with you, take a moment to like this podcast, share this podcast, and drop a comment. And if you don't want to do that, ask yourself why. If you got this, you made this much effort to get to this moment in this podcast, ask yourself why. What if you shared this with a friend and these little insights changed somebody's life? Think of that as a dopamine hit. That when we start to think about ourselves, take a moment for ourselves, be present for ourselves, like the CEO that you talked about, that CEO recognized that if I give myself time, if I give myself a moment, and it doesn't have to be a long time, just being present, I can serve much higher. And my family gains, employees gain, the world gains. So I think we need to redefine what the word selfish really is.
Yeah.
And I think with that, let's leave it there. And we'll pick this up again, I think, on the next episode. So, thank you, everybody. Yeah. And let's leave it there.